Need a reason to smile? Comfort Dental has you covered with new patient exams, including x-rays, for just $19. That's right, only $19 to get started on a healthier, brighter smile. With convenient locations, flexible hours, including evenings and Saturdays, and a team that truly cares, Comfort Dental makes dental care easy and affordable. No gimmicks, no stress, just quality care when you need it. Get comfortable with Comfort Dental. Call or visit ComfortDental.com today.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Over the weekend, US President Donald Trump threatened to impose 10% tariffs on 8 European countries for their defense of Greenland against US takeover threats. Now, that 10% would be imposed on February the 1st and would go up to 25% by June if the US doesn't get possession of Greenland. Now, the US or the European leaders decided against any immediate retaliatory measures yesterday, including the deployment of their toughest weapon, which is the anti-coercion instrument. In the past number of hours, Donald Trump has posted on Truth Social that the Russian threat has to be moved from Greenland now, and it will be done. In a moment, we'll talk to Suzanne Lynch to get the latest, but let's hear what members of the US administration have been saying over the weekend, starting with White House Deputy Chief of Staff Stephen Miller, who made this case for taking Greenland to Fox News on Friday night.
Greenland is essential for America's national security. The new domain of international competition is going to be polar competition. That is where more and more resources are being spent by our nation's adversaries and rivals, is the ability to control movement, navigation, lanes of travel in the polar and Arctic regions. Greenland is 25% larger than Alaska. Greenland is the size of 1/4 the continental United States. With respect to Denmark, Denmark is a tiny country with a tiny economy and a tiny military. They cannot defend Greenland. They cannot control the territory of Greenland. Under every understanding of law that has existed about territorial control for 500 years, to control a territory, you have to be able to defend a territory, improve a territory, inhabit a territory. Denmark has failed on every single one of these tests. So they want us to spend hundreds of billions of dollars defending a territory for them that is 25% bigger than Alaska at 100% American expense. But they say, while we do this, it belongs 100% to Denmark.
Calm down, Stephen, calm down. Striking similar talking points yesterday was Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent, who spoke to Kirsten Welker on NBC's Meet the Press.
President Trump strongly believes that we cannot outsource our security because, Kristen, let me tell you what will happen, and it might not be next year, might not be in 5 years, but down the road, this fight for the Arctic is real. We would keep our NATO, our NATO guarantees, and if there were an attack on Greenland from Russia, from some other area, we would get dragged in. So better now, peace through strength. Make it part of the United States, and there will not be a conflict because the United States right now, we are the hottest country in the world. We are the strongest country in the world. The Europeans project weakness. The U.S. projects strength.
My goodness, the hottest country in the world. And not exactly diplomatic or sound political language there from Scott Bessent. But now we're joined on the line by Suzanne Lynch, Brussels Bureau Chief with Bloomberg. Suzanne, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
So lots of noises around the European theatre, shall we say, about time to end the appeasement of Trump.
Well, I think there is a lot of soul searching now going on here and a bit of a blame game about the strategy Europe has taken towards Trump since his return to the White House. I mean, this culminated with the deal last summer at Turnberry and the European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen signed up for that deal, and she said and would still say, with the support of most countries, to basically sign a suboptimal deal for Europe. It meant more tariffs on Europe.
Yeah, just a reminder, it meant access for US goods to Europe at zero tariffs, 0%, and 15% for Europe going the other way. How was
exactly
that even remotely fair? But she signed up.
And also, you know, no change, like higher tariffs on aluminium and steel that these were promised, and that never happened. So now, obviously, Donald Trump is threatening new tariffs. So I think all partners are realizing that these trade deals really aren't worth the paper they're written on, in a sense. Now, the EU does have some leverage here because the European Parliament still has to sign off on that deal. And now it's saying, or senior people in the Parliament are saying, it might not. So that is some leverage. But really now there is some serious questioning about this whole strategy. Now, President Macron of France, Paris yesterday made it very clear that they are in favor of a stronger reaction to Trump. And they were saying this more than other countries last summer. But we heard a lot of pushback to that, and other countries, including Germany, say, look, easy as it goes. Let's just try and get certainty. Let's try and get the best we can. I think what's significant is that in the last couple of hours, as it happens, European finance ministers are meeting this afternoon here in Brussels. And of course, the focus now is going to be what's happened over the weekend. And the German finance minister has come out. He happened to be meeting his French counterpart in Berlin this morning. And he's come out very strongly in the last hour saying, this is a red line. All, you know, options should be on the table, kind of thing. He's been saying this. So if this is now a shift by Germany, and Berlin is saying we need to be tougher, I think that's very significant.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, if the two biggest countries in Europe feel that way.
The two countries that have kind of successfully negotiated Trump have been Canada, Mark Carney being very strong in Canada, and then going off and pursuing trade deals elsewhere to lessen Canadian dependence on U.S. Export-import business, but also China. China put up with some pain at the beginning, but put the ban on rare earth exports to the U.S. and got a result.
Yeah. I mean, this is the analysis now, that really the only way to get something from Trump is to act tough, that he only responds to strength. I mean, we know that he sees the world in terms of, as he sees it, these great powers, and that America is one of them. He knows that China is the other one. That's the reality we have now, and that Europe is relatively weaker economically. However, Europe does have some leverage here. It is still a big market of 450 million people. It can retaliate in some way, and that would hurt US businesses. It holds US debt. There are other ways that it could fight back. It's chosen not to, but the question now is, maybe this will be the trigger, the red line, as Germany seems to be saying now, that really triggers a change in strategy, really, by Europe towards Trump.
Now, Suzanne, talk to me about this anti-coercion instrument, which was put into law to combat the potential for China to be bullying the EU on trade. But now it may have to be applied to the US.
Yes, so this is known as the ACI, and it's in a way the skill of this is that it's a new instrument, they call it here, and a new policy they have at their disposal in Brussels to use. And it's a bit like when Mario Draghi, the former ECB president, says, we'll do whatever it takes, you know, with the idea that that was a threat that would never be used. In a way, this is good leverage that the Europeans have been saying, we can do this. And some of it was holding back that. Now they may actually act on it. Now, the issue is it's quite cumbersome to agree it. So they don't need unanimous agreement from countries, which is good because some countries might block this. So they just need a qualified majority. So a kind of majority of it's a certain calculation.
And how would it work? How would this instrument work?
Well, we don't know because it's never been used. But what it would do is, in the first instance, they would have to agree and vote on, are we ready to use this? Has another country done something to such an extent that we are going to use this? And then they would discuss and decide and vote on what those measures would specifically be. Now, the indications are that it could be something like, it's up to the EU to decide what these measures would actually be, depending on the case. So one suggestion that we've been hearing here is that they could target US tech giants, for example. They could ban American firms bidding for public contracts in the EU. So this is what you're getting in here to the services industry. We all remember last summer there was a talk about this deficit in goods rather than services. When it comes to services, the EU has much more of a hand over the US on this. So if they start kind of attacking US tech companies in some ways, now there's obviously a broader conversation happening at the moment about content and the US tech companies. But the leverage here that Europe has, be it in tech and trade, is that the US tech companies want to continue operating in Europe. That's the reality. There's 450 million people. So there's the leverage the EU has. So
now, there's something else that's looming, and we don't know. It didn't happen last week, last Friday. The Supreme Court supposed to be ruling on the legality of Trump's tariffs, because it seems to have been originally thought that Congress had to vote on such measures, but Trump overrode all of that. It ended up in the Supreme Court. We are awaiting a verdict. And I mean, it could be nuanced. They could say, well, you had emergency powers then, you don't have them going forward, so therefore no monies have to be repaid to those who were tariffed. On the other hand, they might just say, no, you have to pay the money back and your tariffs are illegal, in which case the instrument he's threatening for February and ultimately 25% in June would be blunted by the Supreme Court.
Yes. I mean, this is also, you're right, hanging over everything. Now, the Supreme Court, we had expected maybe last week to rule on this. Now, their next opinion day, as they put it, is scheduled for Tuesday. So this is all happening at the same time as these renewed trade tensions. Now, there is a possibility, and people close to Trump have said this, that even if it is to rule against Trump and his powers, that there are other ways to do this. There's Section 232, which is used for steel, metal tariffs, and they feel that there are other ways they may be able to do this. So there would be appeals also. So it's going to be an interesting one to see if that's actually going to stop this at this point. But as you say, yes, there could be a scenario where they have to pay the money back. But I think the Trump legal team feel like they've got other options here, even if the court rules against them. And of course, we don't know. Maybe the court won't. So we'll have to wait and see.
Now, the ultimate goal of Trump's policies is to obviously make America great again, be preeminent among all the nations of the earth. But the impression you get is that, he has damaged America in the eyes of the world. America is no longer a reliable partner on any agreement, whether it was the nuclear agreement with Iran, whether it was the climate agreement in Paris, or whether or not it is these ongoing trade deals that he feels whimsically he can agree and then immediately abandon at will. I mean, what damage has that done to the United States?
Well, the way Trump sees it is that they feel that America has, as he likes to say, all the cards here, that it is a bigger economy. Yes, there are some vulnerabilities. But I think that's why, for example, you can see him maybe being a bit more conciliatory towards China, although, again, he may change his position on that, that, you know, he respects power, he respects size, and he believes that countries like China, and he believes indeed that Russia has that kind of power. I think it's also interesting that from the beginning of his political career, he's been against multilateralism in the broadest sense, anything that is, be it the UN or the COP climate talks, the G20, the G7, any of these international fora, he is opposed to instinctively. He thinks that deals can be done one-on-one with different countries, that he can pick countries off each other and set them up against each other. So, I mean, looking at, there's a lot of soul searching, as I said, here in Brussels, you know, looking back, it would have made sense for maybe Europe to get together with other countries, you know, if China, Japan, China probably wouldn't, but say Canada, Japan, South American countries teamed up in some way, they would have been able to fight back against Trump. They didn't do that. They signed their own different kind of piecemeal deals, a lot of which of these are now unraveling. But I think the real issue for Europe is, you know, it is already diversifying in terms of trade. It signed the Mercosur trade deal, for example. It's saying it's going to sign other trade deals. It's accepting that. The biggest issue, though, is defence and NATO, I think. The fact that when it comes to Europe's ability to protect itself from Russia or elsewhere, really, it's depending on America, even though it has dramatically increased its military spending, its defence spending. I think that's what it's really worried about here, ultimately.
Now, when you're dealing with someone like Trump, it's extraordinary. The Norwegian Prime Minister, Jonas Gahr Støre, has confirmed that he received a message from President Donald Trump at the weekend saying he was no longer interested purely in peace due to not getting the Nobel Peace Prize.
Yeah, a colleague of mine in Bloomberg has just got that copy of that letter. It's confirmed, and it's pretty extraordinary.
I'll read more of it because it is so extraordinary. Mm. Considering your country decided not to give me the Nobel Peace Prize for having stopped 8 wars plus, I no longer feel an obligation to think purely of peace, although it will always be predominant, but can now think about what is good and proper for the United States of America. Complete and total control of Greenland. The child. Yeah. The dangerous child.
Well, the Norwegians have now come out, the Prime Minister, saying that they explained to Trump a number of times that the Norwegian government does not donate, does not decide on the Nobel Peace Prize, that it's not the role of the Norwegian government. Of course, Norway was one of the countries that were impacted by this threat by Trump, the new tariffs. So they have come out now and responded to that. But yes, this is what he said. He has linked it to it. And I do think, you know, I think there's a widespread realization now that, that obviously the US president is serious about Greenland. You know, that there's no doubt. I mean, those clips you played at the beginning, I think, are very, very strong. They show where the US president's mind is here.
But is it really on Epstein? And that's the question we all ask. You know, cause a big flurry, divert everyone. Meantime, the Epstein and the scandal of what his corrupted Department of Justice is doing still goes on. It's bubbling away in the background. It may well bring him down, but at the moment, it's deflect, deflect, deflect.
Well, it's and I think what the Europeans are worried about is he going to act on this? And Trump is due in Davos this week, so it's going to be a key moment. He's going to be there Wednesday, we think Wednesday and Thursday. The EU, an emergency summit of EU leaders has been called for later in the week as well. So we potentially have a scenario there that some of the big European leaders will talk to Trump at Davos. They'd expected quite a focus on Ukraine. There was talk only a week ago that perhaps the latest Ukraine peace plan could be sealed at Davos. I mean, it just seems to have gone out of focus for the Americans. And I mean, this was one of the concerns of the Ukrainians all along, that basically Donald Trump is losing interest in the issue of Ukraine and Russia. He doesn't really care about it. So we could have a scenario where that the Europeans or some of those leaders, perhaps Ursula von der Leyen, perhaps Macron, sit down with Trump at Davos, discuss this issue, and then they come back to Brussels for an EU summit where they're debriefing all the EU 27 leaders, and they decide, you know, how to really react, what to do now.
You see, there is an issue with Trump that, you know, he is cunning and all of that, but he's not that bright. So it's a strange combination. You get someone who's cunning and devious, but not very clever, doesn't have a deep understanding
of anything. I don't know about that characterization. I don't know if I'd 100% agree with that, to be honest, Pat. But I do know that he's extremely powerful. And the reality for Congress and for the US political system is that Donald Trump is now testing the limits of power, what he's doing in Minneapolis with the ICE agents, what he's doing with the Fed, the independence of the Federal Reserve, and now what he's doing on foreign policy. So he is pushing that to the limit. So actually what we were speaking about earlier, the Supreme Court ruling on this, on the tariffs, for example, is interesting in and of itself, but also what it says about the broader issue of presidential power in the United States.
I'll read you some of the texts coming in. The United States can't even look after its own people. Only the rich have access to health care. They've terrible annual leave policies, no maternity leave. How do they think they are the greatest country in the world and that they can take on another country? Maybe stop funding wars in other countries, look after your own citizens, and maybe your country won't be such a laughingstock. About Besant's remarks about America being the hottest country in the world, certainly not a wise description given the Epstein radiation that contaminates Trump's reign. That's from Noel and Kerry. Europe has to do what it has to do. Don't tell Trump in advance. Put him under pressure and then let him come to you. And a final one, Putin has won, his puppet has done his bidding and broken the West and distracted Europe from Ukraine and Gaza. Suzanne, thank you very much for joining us. Suzanne Lynch, Brussels Bureau Chief with Bloomberg.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.